www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live once again here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 14, coming to you right here from the Jersey Shore. My name is Jersey Strong J, coming at you. I'm the owner and editor and host of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And shortly, I'm sure we will be joined by my co-host, Will TLD Vafidez, and my other co-host, John from Brooklyn, John DiMaselli, will be on the show shortly. But before I bring them on, I just want to get the plugs and a couple shout-outs out of the way. First and foremost, I want to let everybody know to please visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Make sure you check out some of our brand-new content, some great articles. We have the Match of the Week now from our newest member, Jamel. The great. He's posting the Match of the Week. He's international wrestling. He'll give you something different that you may have never seen before, and that is always a good thing. So definitely check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Also, go to Facebook. We're trying to get those likes up, extend our reach. So check out the fan page at Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, one word. And follow us on Twitter. You can always follow me on Twitter. I'm tweeting all kinds of crazy things because my mind is out there. I'm a little bit wild. So you can follow me at PW Powerhouse. Once again, one word, PW Powerhouse. Follow us on Twitter. Do what you can to support the show and the cause. We're trying to create a wrestling community that is unlike anything else on the internet, but there are a ton of them. Don't get me wrong. They're all over the place. But I'm trying to make this joint a little bit different, trying to make Pro Wrestling Powerhouse fun, trying to make it no nonsense, no bullshit, see it how it is, not through the lenses, the eyes of people that don't really see it too clear. That's what we're trying to make Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. But anyway, tonight on the show, we will be discussing Survivor Series 2012, and boy, what a show it was, in my opinion. I thought they did a great job. WWE definitely delivered last Sunday night at the Survivor Series, and we're going to talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw last night. Big show from Monday Night Raw. WWE had a solid show of entertainment value and wrestling. I also have a big announcement later on in the show that I will get to as well. So please stay tuned. We are featured on blogtalkradio.com this week, so we will have more unique listeners in and out all night long. So if you're new to the show, please stick with us and give us a call at 760-888-5749 and chat with us about anything you want. You can chat with us about wrestling, TNA, WWE, ROH, or whatever the fuck you want. I'm into football. I'm an NFL fan, so if you didn't want to talk about that, I'll be willing to bullshit with you right here tonight, live on the air, blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. But without further ado, I guess Will is still at volleyball. We're going to bring in one of my co-hosts. He is the host of Oh, You Didn't Know Radio, which is on hiatus this week because of the holiday. They'll be back next week. He'll be back with co-host Seth for a brand new episode. But right now, I bring to you John from Brooklyn. John, how you doing, brother?
Good, man. What's up?
You know, what a lot, though, man. I got a couple of big announcements later on that, you know, the fanbase may or may not like. We'll have to see. And we got a lot to talk about. You know, we're going to be talking Survivor Series tonight and whatever else is going on in the wrestling business. So I did get your article, John. I will be posting it later tonight, folks. John wrote a great, fantastic article. And that's what I like about your writing, John. You write these things that are kind of, you know, the everyday fan doesn't really think like that. And I'm not going to give away exactly what it was about, but it does have to do with the WWE Hall of Fame. So if you want to give people a little bit of a preview of what this article will be about, John, go right ahead.
Yeah, basically it's an article about how for everyone that's all about Randy Savage getting in and Owen Hart, it's without giving up too much of the meat of the article, it's basically how the circumstances that are causing each of them from being withheld are ironically enough the solutions to their individual situations. And there may be some stuff in there that people maybe aren't aware of. So, you know, when you get it up, it's not to toot my own horn, but I think it's a good read.
Oh, I agree. I read it, and it is a good read. It's something that I personally didn't think about, and it puts it in a new light, a new perspective when you look at some of these guys who we feel should be in the Hall of Fame that haven't quite made it yet. And there is it's a who's who list of wrestlers that aren't in that should be. And I know even a guy like Kevin Nash went on record to say that he won't be inducted. He doesn't want to be inducted until, you know, one of his mentors, Rick Rude, is inducted into the Hall of Fame. So look out for this article. It's going to be a good one. But, John, we got to start out with Survivor Series. Now, I'm not sure. Did you watch the show, John?
I got home earlier than I expected, so, yeah, I did catch it.
Okay, great. Before we go in by match on what happened, what were your overall thoughts on Survivor Series 2012?
I thought it was a really good show. I thought it could set the table for a lot of interesting things going forward. This is going to be, hopefully, knock on wood, the launch pad for Dolph Ziggler. I think this is Ziggler got made Sunday night, and you know that's a good thing. I liked it. I have really, you know, had no problems with it. You know, I thought it was a really good show top to bottom. I thought the stories that came out of it were really good. And I thought the action itself, I mean, obviously the Divas match was, but, you know, I thought it was really good. I was very pleasantly surprised.
The Divas match is always from what we've seen lately. But I remember last week we did our picks, and I believe we were both perfect in picking the show. Of course, we didn't know that Survivor Series elimination match was taking place with, you know, Brodus Clay, broadband players, and whatnot. But we were perfect in our picks, so that's definitely something to say for us, man.
Yep.
Yep, as hard as the Team Foley, Team Ziggler match was, yeah, you know, perfectly happy with the way it went.
Yeah, me too. And since we're on that topic, let's talk a little bit about it. Dolph Ziggler was made, John. Dolph Ziggler, he really, you know what, I thought that he was going to get punted in the head and it was going to be over, but he came out of nowhere with that sweet chin music, light kick, and defeated Randy Orton with a move that we haven't really seen Ziggler utilize that much in the past. And for him to be the sole survivor on his squad was just, it was something that needed to happen, and WWE realized that. If they want him to have any momentum when he cashes in this Money in the Bank briefcase, which will happen sooner than later, I think, you know, they need him to start winning matches. And, of course, they're moving him up the card with this feud with Cena. So him getting the victory was fantastic. But another thing I want to point out about this match is, you know, I'm not a big believer in The Miz, John. I don't think he's a great candidate to be the next babyface. But the friend of mine, Nick, who was watching it with me, we actually watched it last night. I went spoiler-free. I went into it without knowing anything that happened. You know, he said, what else are they going to do with The Miz? And I have to kind of agree. Like, what else are you going to do with this guy? He's been a heel forever. But one thing I noticed is he really went above and beyond the call of duty to try to get himself over the babyface in that match.
Yeah, and here's the thing you got to realize with him as well, and this has nothing to do in-ring. Take the Make-A-Wish stuff out of it, and he probably does as much stuff outside as Cena does. You know, you don't realize it, but he does fundraisers. He's always at events. You know, that tagline of the most must-see champion of all time, if you really think about it, it was legit. You know, media appearances all over the place. You know, I mean, he really is out there. He's got the movie coming out. He's out there. So, you know, why not make him, you know, a face? You know, granted, he's not going to be, you know, the biggest face in the company. I mean, he'll probably be third or fourth on the peg, you know, with Cena, Ryback, Sheamus, you know. But he's a big enough, he does so much for them outside that's where this makes sense. It doesn't look like the character's going to change so far. Let's hope with that. If the character doesn't change, I mean, it's not attitude error per se, you know what? To have a little bit of an edgier type face is not a bad thing.
No, I absolutely agree. You know, The Miz is The Miz. The character won't change, but the thing that is changing, which is good on his part, is he is attempting to get the fans involved, to let every fan out there know that, hey, you got to fucking cheer me now. You know, I'm a babyface now. I'm the same exact character, but I'm on the good guy side. And that's something that he did both at Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw, and it's something that he needs to continue to do as they go on the road and they go out there to different arenas across the country. Because believe it or not, John, you know, and you will believe this, I mean, it's not too hard to figure out that, you know, I'm sure a lot of casual wrestling fans don't actually tune in each and every Monday. You know, they might be going to Raw, say, on, you know, next month or something, but they might not have watched last night. So they really need to Miz needs to continue to get the crowd behind him.
Yeah, I mean, also, he's got the mainstream, you know, following, too. I mean, I know people that couldn't tell you anything that's gone on at all on Raw, and then I put him on, and it's like, oh, that's the guy from the real world. So he's even got that type of attention as well, so why not market him? And another thing they did well with him, his turn, it wasn't a turn. It was Ziggler talked smack to him about quitting Team Ziggler, and he turned to Foley and said, I want to be on your team. And it was like, well, all right, we'll let the people decide, and they did. There was no, you know, lame, over-the-top beat down, no questionable what side is he on running. This is going to be one of those turns that, you know, has been done really well. And I think it's going to work. Plus, he's getting new guys to work with. He can work with Ziggler, which he does on Main Event this week. He can work with Del Rio. Punk is a heel. You know, there's a bunch of guys he can work with. Heck, you can use this to bring a guy like Alex Riley back as a heel, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. We haven't seen Alex Riley in, it seems like, forever. I think he's nursing an injury. But
he's rehabbing.
Yeah, so, but speaking of guys who The Miz will eventually work with, and I know you guys aren't doing the Oh You Didn't Know show this week with news, but there has been a rumor kicking around that a possible future opponent for The Miz is going to be Antonio Cesaro, and that would be, I think, a great guy for The Miz to get involved with, not only to help get Cesaro more over with the crowd as a heel, but also to help bring that United States title to more prominence. I mean, Antonio Cesaro is trying to push his title up the ladder a little bit, and with a feud with The Miz could really help that out. So that's rumored to take place, but speaking of Cesaro, we saw him and R-Truth go at it in what was a pretty solid match on the show, and Cesaro retains his United States title, but it looks like this feud is continuing. What do you think about the ongoing program between Antonio Cesaro and R-Truth?
I like it. It's a great feud to get Cesaro really over. I mean, the win over Santino was nice. The wins over Ryder are nice. The neutralizers on Clay are like, okay, that's cool. That's impressive. But he needs those guys that can be those signature wins to start moving up. I mean, and Truth's a great guy to start with. And if he's headed into something with The Miz, you know, what a better way to play on a little history than have Cesaro take out Truth. And gee, who's that's going to come to Truth's aid?
Hey,
I mean, it's from last year.
There you go. That's a good point. I mean,
play the awesome Truth history with each other. I'm not saying you put them back together, but, you know, play off a little history there.
They're both on the babyface side right now, so that could be possible. You never know if, you know, the Miz and R-Truth could reform that tag team over the course of who knows how long.
Miz Cesaro will be very good, and it won't even matter really who goes over, although Cesaro probably would retain in that feud. That's just going to be a great feud for both guys because people are going to want Miz to take that belt off him. People are going to hate Cesaro when he retains. It's a good feud for both guys.
Well, you know, I hate to do this because we're rolling along pretty well, John, but it looks like we got my co-host on the line. I guess volleyball is officially over, and he probably suffered another devastating loss right here tonight in his, I don't even know where he plays volleyball, but Will TLD Vasquez is now on the air.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champ.
Will, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I am tired. I had a long night. You know, when you play 4-on-4, you tend to move around a lot. So a little tired, but happy to be here on this Thanksgiving special edition of PWP Radio, which is available on iTunes.
Absolutely, Will. I've just been informed, though, guys, and I thought this was happening, but I wasn't sure that we're dealing with a little bit of an echo situation. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hit a song, I'm going to cut you guys off completely, and you guys are going to call back, and we'll get this show back on the air right after this quick break.
Show you no love. You can't prove me wrong. You keep me anxious in the way of harm. Since the beginning of time, we followed the circus. Why drain me dry? Stranded with this feeling of hope. Sooner or later, I'll be here or on my own.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Sorry about that. I hope that's a share of a minor echo issue. But, Will, I just wanted to get back on track with you, man. You had a great night of volleyball tonight, which is awesome. But we just talked about your boy, The Miz, and what the future lies for him. And he's been doing a great job trying to continually get himself over as a babyface. And it seemed like it worked last night and at the Survivor Series. So, hey. This is pretty much the first two major nights of The Miz's face turn. What were your thoughts on your boy, The Miz?
Oh, I'm very happy, you know. I mean, you put him against David Otunga, and, you know, you're definitely going to get over with that. So it was really good to see The Miz. You could tell he had a little bit of a different step in him tonight on Raw. I mean, I couldn't tell you because I didn't watch Survivor Series. I was unable to. But I was getting my five-year award at Apple. But I thought The Miz definitely did a good job. You know, he does have that little kick in the step now that he is a face, and it's about damn time. You know that The Miz is lovable. How can you not like The Miz? He's awesome. It tells me on his T-shirt.
Well, we talked a little bit about the possibility of him getting involved with Antonio Cesaro in the future, as that's a rumored feud that should be coming along in the next few months, possibly anyway. But Cesaro was victorious over R-Truth. And I posed the question to John. It looks like this program between the two is continuing. What do you think about this program, Will, Antonio Cesaro versus R-Truth?
Well, I mean, The Miz is going to win. I mean, Antonio Cesaro, as good as he sometimes bores me to hell. He's just nothing. I mean, he does have a lot of feet of strength. I'll give him that. But he just doesn't have it for me. I think The Miz just has that personality that does get over with the fans. People just hate him only because he's from a different country. That's honestly the only thing he has, you know, because he's a good athlete. But he needs something more. That's why I liked him with Exana. But, you know, if he was, like, treating Exana bad, then I could definitely see that being something good for him. But, honestly, it's time to get that belt off him. He hasn't done anything with it.
I don't know about that, man. I think they're trying to build him up as a heel that's actually going to, you know, do something in the future. And this is the only way to do it. I mean, he's been dominant. Of course, he's been trashing America, which every forward heel does. I mean, they're kind of taking the easy way
really,
out with that.
If he really wanted to do this, then he would take that United States title away and either wear a European title or some other belt that is not United States, or wear the belt upside down. Even if he wears the belt upside down, that is enough for me to make me hate him. But he doesn't do anything to make me, you know, he does all the usual stuff that every person from out of the country does.
Well, it hasn't even been a year for his run yet, so we'll see what happens. But we've got a caller on the line, and 706 area code, you're on the air with PWP Radio. What's your name and where are you from?
Yo, it's AJ.
What's up, Abe, man? I should know this by now. I got to write this down. I'm going to write down 760. I'm going to write down your number and make sure I know it's you from now on. But, Abe, what's going on, man?
Well, you know, you mind if I give my take on the end of your DVD I just checked out a few days ago? Or you want me to wait on the show?
Not at all, bro. You can. It's a free-flowing conversation. NWO, what's it called? The Revolution, correct?
Yeah. The Revolution, it came out last month. It went to history of the NWO from the start into the end, from 96 to Debbie Running was 2002 with Shawn Michaels and Nash, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yes, so a quick review on it. They started how you know, little NWA, how with Trinidad, Debbie Howe, battle and stuff, and they mentioned, and everybody, what surprised us on DVD was the opinions of Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase and guys who sons were Dusty Rhodes, who I think, you know, I forgot, they're about your age or my age and stuff like that. You forget, oh yeah, they're already, so they're kind of in our age group when we were watching that time, so they kind of explained how we were, and we saw, okay, this new angle is going on, and while Hogan turned, how it made it come down to money, and how he was a heel the first time ever that a major face became the biggest heel in wrestling ever, and how, and I didn't notice until watching on the extras too, that the camera angles were different. I mean, like, you know, the NWO sold out pay-per-view, they went into that a little bit too.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Go for it.
And how, I'm not sorry, the Saturday night, NWO Saturday night was, the camera angles were different. If you watch it, you would not know the WWE was NWO. They have, it was very futuristic if you watch it now, thinking 97. And they also went to how about 90 people joined the NWO, which they said watered down, which was true. And they went to how Sting was the hero against NWO. So it's like, well, even though Matt Stryker says something stupid, like, how people hate NWO and cheer Sting, it was like, crap, which you all know better. And even Cody Rhodes said something that's very interesting. They came to mind, said, if you're not a WCW fan, if you just, let's say, a 15-year-old now, and you just see some of it now, you will understand. But at the time, it was perfect for a year story that wasn't dragged on. It made sense because not every – it wasn't saying it every week. Sting wasn't shown every week. You know, it was in spurts. It wasn't every week. And also said how it got diluted and they hated how they said that the ending of NWO started with the Wolfpack in 98. He said it was the worst, and like he was watered down, which is crap because they went to a profit a year. But you know.
Well, Abe, let's wrap this up a little bit. But give us a rating from like a scale of 1 to 10. Cause I know they've done stuff on the NWO before on the various WCW DVDs and on that NWO Back in Black DVD. That was a whole NWO DVD in itself. So if you can give us a rating from 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, what would you rate this DVD?
I rated 8 after the whole DVD. Documentary was good. I'll get a documentary about 7.5 because they didn't mention the skit. You know, it was 97 with Nash and Kurt Hennig. They didn't mention that. They should have.
They don't.
But
mention,
I
would
imagine.
Sorry to cut you off. They don't mention that.
Yeah, they don't for some reason. I don't know why they didn't mention it.
How could they not mention that?
I have no idea. It's obvious everyone that knows watched, like, he turned on Flair, they mentioned it, but they didn't mention the skit, which is very important to get the heat on them, extra heat, which is a big deal. They didn't mention why they didn't say it. Nobody knows why. It's almost like they just glossed over. Like, they just, oh, yeah, we forgot. But they mentioned how he turned it, Fall Brawl, and he turned it in NWO, which is kind of weird how they forgot that part, which is huge.
Well, you know what, Abe? You know what, Abe? That is WWE trying to cut out some of that, I guess, attitude type of stuff that was going on at the time for the NWO. They don't want to put the NWO too over, but it looks like, from what you said, an 8 out of 10 is a damn good rating, and I want to let everybody know for Black Friday, definitely go to the Amazon store on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and purchase that NWO DVD for your significant other or best friend or whoever the fuck for Christmas or whatever, the holiday season. Purchase that. Give a little bit back to the show. We get a little tiny, tiny residual from it. It's very small, but every dollar counts. We want to keep this radio show going. So thanks a lot for the review, Abe. We appreciate it.
No problem. You have a good night.
You too, brother. Thank you very much. So that was Abe, man. That was a nice review. But, you know, the NWO, that's a whole conversation in its own. But right now we're going to finish up Survivor Series, and we're not going to talk about every little thing that happened. As we know, myself and John were perfect on our prediction. Big Show and Sheamus was a schmoz ending, not really a big deal. It kind of just sets up their rematch for TLC, which obviously is going to be some kind of a chair match. So that's not really a big deal. But I want to talk about the main event, the match on the show, Ryback, CM Punk, John Cena. We saw the debut of Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, I believe his name is. He's actually a part of the Anoa'i family, related to, I guess he's Rosie's brother, and he's the son of Samu, the former Samoan SWAT team and Head Shrinkers tag team back in the 80s and 90s. But we saw the debut of these three NXT guys. They attacked Ryback. CM Punk, once again victorious, holds the WWE Championship for 1 year, pretty much unprecedented in wrestling nowadays. I'm not going to count Ring of Fucking Honor because that doesn't matter, but WWE Champion CM Punk continues his run, and John, give me your take on this epic triple threat match at Survivor Series 2012.
It was really, I thought the match itself was pretty good. The psychology of it was excellent. Cena and Punk realizing they needed to team up out of necessity to take Ryback out was well done. You know, you had the three guys jump Ryback, keep him strong. Cena taking the pin is no biggie. I loved it. I really did it. As soon as I saw the orange and the blonde hair, I was like, holy shit, here we go. And I had a feeling once Cole named them, this wasn't just going to be random. Like, it wasn't going to be a case where they were going to be used as just, like, random guys one time. They were going to be a part of something, and it looks like they're going to be.
How about you, Will? Well, you didn't see the match, but you obviously know the result. What are your thoughts on what transpired at Survivor Series in the Triple Threat main event?
Well, when I got home and looked at the results, I was very surprised. I was like, wow. Now I wish I watched the pay-per-view, because that's a good ending. You know, I like that. You know, it's almost an aces and eights kind of deal, almost in a way. But I think it's a little bit better because, one, they brought up their other promotion that they had, their younger promotion. And, you know, it makes sense because these three guys are always traveling. These guys with NXT are sometimes traveling around with the WWE locker room, and you never see them. And now it's kind of like you see them now. And it's a nice way to bring them in, and we still have that mystery on who are they here to help, you know. So I liked it. I liked the ending. I think CM Punk winning was the right move, you know. And it looks like Ryback and him are going to continue, but we're still having a little bit of mystery on what these three's agenda is really about. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bring up somebody from NXT's past that may have something involved with those three guys, with Ryback. So who knows, but it looks good. I like it. I think it was a great way to end the show. Good surprise.
Yeah, I like it too. People have been clamoring for these debuts of the NXT guys, specifically Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. You know, I really am not familiar with Roman Reigns whatsoever, but I of course, Googled him and found out that he is part of the Anoa'i family, like I said. But the thing about it is, I think it's more of a Nexus type angle than Aces of Eights, because these guys were identified almost immediately by Michael Cole, especially when they got closer to the announce position. He named them all. And the great thing about it is, I really want them to be revealed as Paul Heyman guys. I thought last night for sure they were going to take the turtlenecks off and you would see, I'm a Paul Heyman guy t-shirt like CM Punk was wearing. And there you go. There's your Paul Heyman group that everybody has been clamoring for a long time, that I think can and will lead WWE into 2013, because they need to incorporate these young guys. And I think it was a great angle to start it and get it over. And how else are you going to going to defeat Ryback, who's just been such an unstoppable force, than to have, like, a gang assault on him. So I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Great booking by WWE. I know a lot of people hate on stuff like this, that they do, but I absolutely loved it. So, you know, it was great.
You want a great way to follow it up?
Go
for
it.
A great way to follow it up from Sunday night and even last night? Whenever the next taping is, okay, this is, and I think they tape like once a month, here's what you do. Rollins has got to drop that belt, okay? I would have, unannounced, I'd have Ryback show up at night and say, don't touch Rollins, don't do nothing, just have him show up, have his music hit, have him on that ramp, and whoever he's going to put the belt on at NXT, have him, like, roll up Rollins with it, and then you acknowledge it. You acknowledge it on Raw the following Monday. And you really keep this intertwined, because Cole did mention NXT. He didn't just mention those guys by name. He mentioned it by NXT. And if you want to really keep this interesting, you do little stuff like that to keep it going. You know, Ryback went and hunted these guys down, and he cost, you know, Rollins the title, and like that, just like they cost him the title. That's how you follow that up.
Yeah, I really like that idea, John. That's a great idea for a follow-up. It's simple, it's easy, it's effective booking, but we all know WWE, when it comes to the simple things, they don't seem to really go in that direction all the time. They sort of outthink themselves at times. But, yeah, that's a good idea. I really like it. And, you know, moving on a little bit from this angle, we'll get back to it a little bit more. And also, if you want to call in and talk about it, if you have anything to say about, you know, the debuting NXT stars, please call in. 760-888-5749. I want to give a shout out to my buddies over at the Pro Wrestling Zone who they're listening tonight, and they put this out on their page for us. So thank you for throwing PWP Radio out there. We're trying to get more listeners, a fresh audience, which is always great. But I want to keep everybody who listens on a weekly basis here. So I'm going to take a question on Facebook here from Andy Thompson, who's a fan of the show. He was a fan over at Wrestling Roundtable, and you and I were over there at that place, Will. And he has a question, and it's a WrestleMania-related question, so I'm going to shoot this one to Will first. Should Shawn Michaels return to in-ring action at WrestleMania to take on Brock Lesnar, since Lesnar broke Shawn Michaels' arm at SummerSlam? Will, go ahead.
No.
That's the end of the question. What else you got to say? He retired. He's not going to do it. You know, he'll be in the corner of Triple H, maybe. But that's the end of it. You know, he's not going to wrestle anymore. You know, he's going to be a man of his word, and he's not going to wrestle. You know, the story is Triple H and Brock Lesnar. It's not Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is just a pawn in that storyline, but he's not going to be a main focal point.
Is that still the story, though? I don't know if I'm really starting to think that we might not see Triple H at WrestleMania next year.
I don't see a reason why we need him. There's nothing.
What, Triple H?
Triple H we could use, but not Shawn Michaels. He's done. You know, that moment will stay that way forever. It's not going to change. Shawn will not agree to get into the ring. I just don't see it happening.
How about you, John? What's your thoughts on this question? Possible Shawn Michaels versus Brock Lesnar?
I agree with Will. No. And he's definitely not going to get Michaels Lesnar at WrestleMania. I really do believe Michaels when he said this. He was going to be the one guy that sticks to it. And I think there's been chances to bring him back. You know, you could have seen it. It hasn't happened. It's not. I think it's going to be Lesnar Rocky though. I think Lesnar's getting involved at the Rumble, and whatever Triple H does, Will's right. You'll get Michaels maybe in the corner. You know, but you're not going to get Michaels wrestling again.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you guys on this. I definitely, you know, solidify the fact that I want to see The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, which I think that's going to happen. I think it's safe to say that. I always come back to the possibility of Triple H coming back and wrestling Lesnar again, and this is why, because Triple H won't miss WrestleMania. I don't think he'll miss it for the world, because that's just another moment for him to be in the spotlight. And we all know that our boy Trips, or Bangs, as I used to call him, because he bangs the boss's daughter. But we all know he loves the spotlight, and this is a perfect time for him to get his heat back and defeat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. But if it was up to me, I'd keep Triple H the fuck away from it. I'd keep Triple H retired. So I'd keep him retired for about a year. I'd keep him retired until next SummerSlam, and then maybe, you know, if Lesnar resigns or whatever, give Lesnar and Triple H two next year at SummerSlam. Do it again then. You know, keep him retired.
I'll give you a name.
Go for it.
I'll give you a name for Triple H, and if you think of the characters, it would work. Del Rio.
Del Rio Triple H at WrestleMania? That's what you think is going to happen?
It works.
Go ahead, explain. I'll give you the floor.
Okay.
I would love to hear this.
What'd you say, Will?
I would love to hear this.
Okay. What's the base of Del Rio's gimmick?
He's a
big time
aristocrat.
Exactly. You've got no full time power authority figure on Raw. Okay?
Yeah.
It's very simple to create a Del Rio storyline where he's going to make a play for control of the company. How do you combat that?
You know what, John?
I like the idea,
but it's even too smart for WWE to book that.
Because also another reason why, too, okay, I'll even take the storyline aspect out of it, but look at it like this. Del Rio's the type of guy, and there are very few guys left on this roster that Triple H can do what he does at WrestleMania to and not get hurt by it. That's another reason why it works. Del Rio could lose to Triple H and then go out the next night on Raw and beat the piss out of Ray and get all his heat back. There's very few guys who can do that. That's another reason why it works for me.
It's not a bad idea to have this Triple H Del Rio angle. I actually like it. I think it's a good way to move Del Rio in a positive direction, because a lot of us, including Clayton on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group on Facebook, he says this, and I quote, "Don't put Triple H with that Stu Stress Del Resto, because, hey, quite frankly, Del Rio has been a little bit boring lately, but I like the angle. I think it's a pretty good idea. Will, what do you think about John's idea?"
There's nothing for me. So I don't think right now, you know, but people said the same thing about Triple H Undertaker too. So, and then we had the Hell in the Cell added to the whole thing that changed the whole environment. So right now I'm skeptical of it. I would not say that would be a big match for Triple H. I think he needs something bigger than that. That's just my opinion. He's above that to me.
All right, so let's just get one more question out of the way for Triple H at WrestleMania, because next week I also want to talk about booking WrestleMania a little bit as well, but I just want to get this question out of the way. I'm going to give it to John first, unless there's somebody else besides Del Rio you have in mind. But if you were to book Triple H, let's say he's guaranteed to wrestle somebody at WrestleMania, come out of this quasi-retirement he's in, who would you book him against, John? If you could book him against anyone.
So I can book him against Del Rio?
Yeah, go ahead. If that's where you want to go with this, sure.
Because I'm sold on Lesnar Rocky. I think that's going to happen. Taker's not going to wrestle him again. And at that point, I mean, when you look at the guys who it wouldn't kill to put in the ring with Triple H, you're not going to put him in the ring with Big Show. Is Jericho going to come back to wrestle Triple H? No. Orton's going to be a heel by then, but do you want to throw Orton to that? No. Ziggler? No. I mean, do you want to throw one of these NXTs to him? No. I can't see where else it goes. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's a combination of what I think works storyline-wise, the fact that I think Del Rio can recover from it, and also who else is he going to work?
All right. Will, if you had one guy to put Triple H against, if anybody, at WrestleMania 29, who would it be?
Honestly, I think that if they could do it right, it's so hard of a question, because I still haven't come up with an answer, because I'm going to be wrong no matter what. I would say if they're going to do, I wouldn't be surprised, don't be shocked, if they would actually put him in, like, even, I don't know. I couldn't even say.
Oh, I'll put you on the hot seat. I'll put you on the hot seat.
Hey,
yeah,
put me on the hot seat, man. Listen, I'm sweating. I had a long day, you know, and now all this pressure's on me, and I can't take all this pressure, man.
You don't put
no pressure on me. No TLD. You don't put no pressure on me.
I'm going to give you a guy, and I'm going to give Clayton on Facebook all the credit for this idea, and I like it. I like it. What about Triple H versus Damian Sandow? You know, Triple H completely humiliated Sandow in one of the biggest Raws of all time at Raw 1000. And somehow they could bring this full circle and give Sandow a big feud and a big spot at WrestleMania 29. The guy can go. Let's face it. Damian Sandow is a star in the making. All he needs is that one big match or moment or whatever. And we know what that WrestleMania 26 loss that Sheamus had against Triple H did for him. The feud continued. Sheamus got over, and hell, he was the WWE and then the world champion again. So Clayton took Sandow, and I fucking agree. I think Sandow would be a great guy, an up-and-comer guy to put against Triple H at WrestleMania 29.
Does he say who goes over?
I would put Triple H over, I think, you know, but I would have Sandow be a viable threat to him. And Triple H is just going over because it's WrestleMania. That's what I would do. But maybe the next month you could have Sandow get his heat back, or even the next night on Raw, you could have Sandow get his heat back. I can't see Triple H at this stage of his career losing again at WrestleMania, especially to an up-and-comer like Damian Sandow. You know?
I know. Heaven forbid he makes a star and puts him over right on the biggest stage of them all.
It's not going to happen. But all right, so that's a cool question, and I just want to make a little bit of an announcement. I kind of teased an announcement on Facebook and Twitter today about the show.
Yeah, what's going on with that Dixie Carter?
Well, you know, let's get right down to it. I Will gave me this idea yesterday, and I told him I'd think about it today and get back to him and whatnot, and I have been thinking about it, and I think it's about time that we officially launch TWP TV, and we will do that sometime within the next month. We're going to film sometime within the next month during the holiday season, and we are going to do the first annual PWP year-end awards. And we have it. We've been talking about it in our private team group on Facebook about these awards, and we want to get our fan base involved. Don't forget, I'm also trying to get the top 20 wrestlers of all time definitive list. If you have not sent in your list yet, please send it in to prowrestlingpowerhouse@gmail.com. I'm looking for about 15, 20 more lists, and then I'll be able to finish that, solidify that. But basically, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take these categories, we're going to have awards, and Will and I on PWP TV, we're going to issue these awards, the first annual, to pro wrestlers throughout the business. And Will, there's your answer, man. We're going to go ahead and we're going to start this journey, this part of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. I'm pretty excited for it, man. How about you?
I just want to thank the devil for giving me all these great ideas, and I'm looking so forward to it. And I want to thank all you fans for supporting the PWP Radio. And, you know, we had a higher viewership last week, which was really great. And, you know, hopefully this will take us to the next level. You know, all those people on the page or on the group, you got to watch. You got to listen, you know. These are the things that help us get out there. We need your help. And this is going to be a great episode. I'm looking forward to it. Gets my creativity juices flowing. And, Jay, we're filming at your house.
Yeah, it's going to be at my house in front of my gigantic TV. We're going to talk about this in the next coming days
nice.
Or weeks or whatever. But we're going to get this moving. But I also have another announcement, which is not so positive. Now, I've been contemplating this for a while. And we're not going to go on this note. We got 15 minutes left in the show. But there's a possibility within the next month or so as well, the live version of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio may come to an end. We might end the live version of the show and turn it into a podcast form, or we may just keep it going with Blog Talk Radio. I'm not really sure what we're going to do. So I just wanted to let anybody who's listening, let the fans know that that's what the future holds right now. We're not sure, but it is a big possibility, and I'll let you know what happens. But this Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Live Network might be in its final month or so. We'll have to see what happens, but that's something that we will readdress in the future. If that does take place, we're just going to turn into a podcast show. We will tape the show and upload it to iTunes so we can kind of get that going in a positive direction. Because, folks, I've been asking for you to rank the show and rate the show and download it on iTunes and check it out over there, and you're just not doing it. So we might need to kind of force you to do it over there to get us up those rankings, because I am looking at those wrestling rankings of these different podcasts throughout the weeks and months and whatever, and a lot of these shows don't even fucking exist anymore. They don't even do anything. They put like maybe a 5-minute clip out there of whatever, and they're ranked far above us. And I know we're still in the first few months of the live show, but it costs money, and we're just gonna have to see what happens. It's something that we will get to more in the future, but for now, PWPD Radio is still live in the air. We're still gonna move forward in a positive direction. PWP TV will be coming up shortly, so I hope you guys are pumped about that. But we're not going to end this show on that note. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw and the ending and CM Punk's year-long title reign. And I thought it was great that Paul Heyman showed us that list of the top title reigns in WWE history. And I'm just curious how far they're going to take this, because he kind of went out of his way to mention guys like Bruno Sammartino and Hulk Hogan. Is it a possibility, and I'm going to shoot the question to Will first, that CM Punk could threaten some of these other big names on the list? We know he's going to jump Savage. We know he's going to jump, I can't remember who's next. Cena, I think it was.
John Cena was the other guy.
Yeah. We know he's going to jump these guys, but is it possible that he can go over the 1,000-day mark? Will, what do you think?
No, I think... You know, with The Rock coming up at WrestleMania and all this stuff, I just cannot imagine that happening. I think they want to give The Rock the title, but I think it was great just to bring it up. I think it was just a nice way to say, hey, I'm already planning to be the champion for 2018, which is a very heelish thing to do. You know, instead of thanking, everybody for getting where he is, he thanks Paul Heyman and he thanks himself, And he has all these names on this board that he's going to pass. And I love it. I thought the whole idea of that was just a really good idea. I don't remember the last time I remember someone even mentioning how many days someone's been a champion. So it's definitely good. And, how he said, I'm better than The Rock and Stone Cold and Triple H, It just, and you look at that and you think a year long, in a way, it makes you, it makes you believe him that he is better than all those guys just because he's so good on the mic and he is champion for a year. So, people remember that.
What about you, John? What are your thoughts on this? I mean, he even stated that he will pass Bruno Sammartino in, I think it was like July of 2018.
July 25th, 2018. Set your DVRs. I thought it was really well done. I'll tell you this, and I may be by myself on it. I think the San Martino mention might mean that there may be some potential to him maybe doing something with them in the future. I think they emphasized him a lot last night, even though it all came back to Punk saying, Heyman saying he could beat San Martino. But just to hear those names mentioned and, it was amazing. And, yeah, Will's right. You know what? When you put the time on it, especially in this day and age, it really makes it matter. It really puts some emphasis on it. And I hope he goes straight through to WrestleMania. I really do. And I'll be ready July 25th, 2018.
And it will be WWE main event that night if that show's even
on
the air. Yeah,
630th episode.
I honestly doubt it'll make it that long, but I think that there is a possibility that if they went this far with CM Punk as WWE champion, I think he gets through the new year. I think he defeats The Rock at Royal Rumble. I think that is almost a given. But in my mind, it depends who he's booked against at WrestleMania, where you'll really, tell the tale. Are they going to have to turn him back babyface at some point to continue this title reign? I personally don't think so, because he's a fantastic heel and he's done so much to get himself over in that direction that they should keep him, that they should keep the course, keep that going in this direction. But if, you know, they get past WrestleMania, they could possibly turn him back babyface to drag that momentum out a little bit more. But, hey, man, 1,000 days? Is it possible that he goes 2 years? You know, we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think it's intriguing. And, you know, we'll just have to see what transpires with that. Something else I wanted to talk about, guys, was there was an awesome match last night on Raw, and it's kind of rare that I put these two guys in awesome match in the same sentence, but triple threat match between Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio, I thought was far exceeded expectations. Very fantastic match. Hopefully it blows off the feud and they could each go in a different direction. So I just want to know. I think this is what's going to happen. I think Del Rio is going to continue being a heel. I think Randy Orton might start getting a little bit more of an edge in his character and start moving towards a heel role. But, Will, what are your thoughts on the future of Del Rio and Randy Orton?
I think that, you know, usually 2 out of 3 falls matches usually settle everything, and I would say that's the end of it. But I think he did try to do the punt, if I'm correct. Or did he do that in Survivor Series? He was doing that.
No, Survivor.
Okay. Well, I mean, right now you really can't tell, honestly, what he's doing right now because there's not a program set up for him. So I don't know what he's going to do at the next pay-per-view. Right now he's got nothing right now. He might still have to face Del Rio because there's no one else really out there. I would say get a younger talent and start getting some younger talent over him. I would say if he keeps losing, he'll get more pissed off.
Yeah, what about you, John? What are your thoughts on the future of Orton and Del Rio? I think it's a great possibility that Orton could move away and move to a younger type of talent and take a loss, like Will said, and possibly that could move him towards heel. But what do you think about this?
I thought that's where we were. I thought that's where we were starting to head Sunday night. The punt kick, which led to the super kick, which led to him losing clean, and then the stare between him and Foley at the end. I was a little disappointed there was nothing to that last night. You know, he wants to go heel so bad. I think they need him to go heel. It's got to happen, but I was surprised there was no follow-up to it last night. I could see Will's point. He starts losing to guys who he should be beating, and he can just get pissed and you know, this and that. So, yeah, I could see it heading that way. And Del Rio can do anything, more or less, and you know, it 9 times out of 10, it won't be horrendous, you know.
Yeah, what do you really do with a guy like Del Rio at this point? I mean, he's pretty much feuded with everybody. He's not a part of a tag team. Hey, I tell you what you do. You take him and you put him with Sandow and you and continue this tag team that Cody Rhodes, I guess he's going to be out for a while with this injury. I would just take him, team him up with Sandow. You want to talk about a solid tag team that is snobby and snooty and whatever the hell you want to say, that could be a great, great, great team to go against Team Hell No, Kane and Daniel Bryan. I think that is the way to go with Alberto Del Rio. I think so. I think that's what they should do. But moving ahead, I guess TLC is coming up, and we're not really sure what's going to happen at this show besides for an obvious rematch with Sheamus and Big Show. Looks like it's going to be something involving a chair or two or whatever. But,
I can give you the local advertisements in Brooklyn that they were airing here last night if you want.
Yeah, go for it, man. I'd love to hear it.
All right. It's James Show Chairs, Ryback Punk Cable, Cena Ziggler TLC. The rumor is for control of Raw for Vicky or AJ.
You know what? I think that's pretty solid. I think that's a good way to go. What do you think about that lineup, Will? It looks like if that's going to be the case, I'm not going to be attending the show with Will because I was dying to see this Mick Foley CM Punk TLC match for the WWE Championship.
Yeah, it does look like that's not going to happen after last night. I mean, Foley didn't even show up on the show. You know, it's a little upsetting that he didn't even go on the show with Dean or anything. It was kind of like, yeah, it's over. You know, there was no follow-up to it, you know. So I thought that was kind of odd that they did that. But obviously, you know, they changed the direction, I think, of the whole next 2 months after they switched around the main event. So I think that's what makes it a little different. So I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know. I mean, I like the card. I would love to go just to be there. But you're being a chicken shit.
Ooh, chicken shit. No, no, no. I'm not being a chicken shit, man. Hey, if we want to keep Pro Wrestling Powerhouse live on the air using every Tuesday night, my fun's got to go somewhere else. But they're also going to WrestleMania 29.
Hey, that could be one of our videos. We could be live right there at TLC. Think of the hits. Think of the media attention that we would get from that. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, well, hey,
and
we still got time,
this
man.
Is the retainment?
We still got time. I know I'm definitely going to Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rahway, New Jersey, if anybody wants to go to that show. I am a big fan of PWS. I think they do independent wrestling the right way, and it looks like they have a hell of a show coming up. And today they were teasing who would wrestle Jerry Lynn in one of his final matches, actually his final match on the East Coast in February, another show which I definitely will be attending. And it looks like it's going to be Jerry Lynn against Lance Storm in February for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. But next month, I believe it's December 7th, a Friday night, not only are we going to get Matt Hardy defending his newly won Pro Wrestling Syndicate Championship against Tevin Matthews in a casket match, but get this, Will and John, if you want to make the trip to Rahway, El Matador, Tito Santana, the first time he's done the El Matador gimmick since he was El Matador in the early 90s, taking on the one and only Mantar. Will, what do you think about that?
Wow, that wasn't a gimmick versus gimmick match of 1994. I don't know what else should be.
Without a doubt, though,
I will
mark. All jokes aside, is Hardy going to be good to go after what happened at Extreme Rising?
From what I hear, Hardy has been in contact with the Pro Wrestling Syndicate management, and I think he's going to be there to work this match. However, you know, he's got trauma to the head. He definitely suffered a concussion of some sort. And
someone had a video clip up of that fall. That thing just looked nasty, and some of the retorts were saying like he was convulsing and all that. Like, sounds like he was in some real bad shape.
Yeah, he was. They actually made all the fans leave the building at the end of that show. It was Extreme Rising in Pittsburgh. And but I hear that Matt Hardy's going to be okay, make a full recovery. It's a concussion, or maybe even he suffered a stinger. I'm not positive, but he will be in Rahway on December 7th to defend the PWO Championship. But you're also going to have him to start, guys. Gilbert is going to be in the house. Goldust is going to be there, and he will be Sammy Callahan. It'll be Goldust versus Sammy Callahan in a match that I never thought I'd see. Not only that, but the Honky Tonk Man will be there. The Blue Meanie will be there, as well as Starman. Starman was on PWP Radio last week. He's the new Tri-State Champion, so he will be on the show.
Yeah, what an experience that was, I'll tell you.
Was that good? I listened to clips of it. How'd that go last week?
It was interesting. I'll tell you, if you ever want to talk about a guy that never breaks character, there you go.
That's awesome. You know, I was hoping that would happen, and I had listened to most of the interview. I was kind of like in and out of it, but it was very good. And like I said earlier in the night, you didn't know, we'll be back next week with a brand new live show. But hey, Will, man, we've got about 90 seconds left. Any final comments tonight on PWP Radio?
Yeah, I think we're going in a good direction. I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble. I'm looking forward to TLC. I think CM Punk is growing as a heel character, and he's becoming one of the best heel characters that I think most people can remember for a long, long time. I think they're going in the right direction right now.
How about you, John? Any final comments tonight, PWP Radio?
Yeah, I mean, so the pay-per-view was good, and Raw was good last night because you got a lot of good new stuff out of it. I mean, one thing we didn't talk about was Wade Barrett going over Kofi, which looks like Barrett's going to move into an IC title feud, which is good. And, you know, I mean, you ended the show the right way last night. No reveal on who these guys are with, and that's a good way to go. And in a little bit of non-major news, if you're looking for something Saturday morning Slam, I'm not going to give the spoilers, is going to have Sheamus and John Cena on it. So there you go with that.
That is big news. That brings Saturday Morning Wrestling back into the limelight. But this ends our show, folks. The PWP Radio Episode 14 is in the books. Thanks to Don and Will and Abe for joining us tonight. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. And thanks a lot. Have a great night and keep it real. We'll see you next week.
PWPWrestling.com.
Later.